for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 12th, 1970. Second Omaha Regional Convention of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship being held at the Fontenelle Hotel in Omaha, Nebraska.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Except by faith.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And then afterwards, he asked the people who would like to go further with this to go to another place, and they sat there listening to him teach on it some more. And as a result of this, well, he said, well, it's all, we all receive this all by faith, of course. And he wanted to get the people to start using this in their own life to actually listen to themselves do it, because it's so strange. This is probably one of the hardest things to do when you give an interpretation, to listen to your own self say it. And so he had everybody then pray in tongues for a few minutes, and he says, now give the interpretation. Of course, they were praying to themselves, and just for their own, just so they could hear it themselves, just loud enough to hear it. And then they gave their interpretation to themselves, and it's amazing what the Lord was saying to each individual. And this is why I asked the question this morning concerning private devotion, because this is one tremendous way. So many of us pray and pray and pray and never hear from the Lord, it seems like, you know. But we don't wait long enough for Him to speak to us. So this is a tremendous way to let the Lord speak to you. So as you pray in tongues, well, then give the interpretation back. Ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation, then receive it back, and you'll be amazed what the Lord is telling you in this.
Did you have it?
Brother Darrell's been involved with a lot of the mechanics of the program here, saying about the Voice magazine and other things. So I'm going to ask him to just give a testimony personally.
Well, this is really not my personal testimony, but I felt like I ought to say just a few things here, having to do with what Brother Don has said, and to just to back up and confirm some of the things that he has said. I was the one who wrote this note to him a while ago, because I know in a crowd this size, there are at least 20 people here who don't know the answer to that question that he answered, or gave a portion of an answer to. But having received the Holy Spirit when I was 12 years of age, and I'm 55 now, I have seen and heard almost everything that you can see and hear in this area. It doesn't mean that I know all the answers, but I've seen it and heard it. I'd like to mention that he brought, with regard to a quickening of the Spirit before the service. There's nobody around but you. You're in your hotel room or at home, and you feel a quickening of the Spirit, the same kind of quickening of the Spirit that you would have if you were going to give a message in tongues. By the way, there's no such scripture in the Word, you know, as giving a message in tongues. We invented that, you know. We have a habit of, you know, inventing words that fit what we want them to fit. So I'm going to use it anyway. We've used it for 40 years. Why not use it again? You feel like you want to give a message in tongues, or an interpretation, or a prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You recognize this. Now, this may be for you, or it may be for the service that is to follow. I remember this happened one time to me in a convention about 5 years ago in Chicago. But I recognized that this was for, after the Lord had dealt with me, I recognized that this was for the board meeting that I was to attend in about 30, 40 minutes. So I just sat down and wrote it out. Now, here's another thing, too. God doesn't get in a hurry. And if He's giving you a message, and if it is authentic, He'll give it to you slow enough that you can sit down and write it out and take your time. God doesn't get in a hurry. And if you feel like He said a while ago, that you just, something rising up within you and you've got to give it right now, you don't have to give it right now. That may be the time, and it may not be the time. But timing is very important. There have been, and I agree with Don, in that the Word of God, when it is being preached, most times it should not be interrupted by anything or anybody, whether it's tongues, interpretation, prophecy, what have you. But I have known of a few instances and witnessed a few instances when it was beautiful and wonderful in that the minister who was giving the message had made a very important point. And as easily and beautifully as you ever saw, someone would stand and give a prophecy confirming this that he had just said. And it caused a holy hush to come over the whole group, and they absorbed what the man had said much more readily because God had confirmed it right there before their very eyes. And it was not an interruption. In most cases, it is an interruption, but I just wanted to let you know that it can be done when it is not an interruption. But in my hotel room, I wrote this down, and then when I got down into the board meeting, where there were about 30 or 35 of us together at an appropriate time, I just said, well, the Lord's given me something this morning for this board. Demas said, well, give it to us. So I just got down and read it to him. And it proved that it was true. Now, another thing, 1 Corinthians 14:13. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this is the way I see it. You shouldn't get up and give a message in tongues unless you are willing to interpret it yourself. Now, don't just get up and speak in tongues and then just sit down and your responsibility is over with. It is not over with. The church is to receive edifying if someone speaks in tongues in a group service. If someone else does not give that interpretation, it is your responsibility. Not necessarily your privilege even. It's your responsibility to give the interpretation because the Word says so. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:27, this has, he spoke on it a while ago and gave it as he saw it. And this has been a verse of scripture that has been interpreted in various ways. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Now, as I see it, that means that in any given service, like this morning in this service, there should not be over three tongues and interpretation in this particular service. Next service, there could be three more. You'd never want to get into anything until it becomes so repetitious that it becomes commonplace. God doesn't do things in that way. Now, this is as I understand it, and I'm not saying that this is the way it is. It just happens to be the way I understand it. 1 Corinthians 14:30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. I'd just like to ask you that question. How many here understand that? One man and one lady. All right, I'm going to tell you what I think. 1 Corinthians 14:30. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. This, to me, was dramatically illustrated one time in an international convention of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship several years ago at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. I was sitting on the platform, and a woman stood up right out about so, and at a very good time, gave a powerful message in tongues. Two men on the platform, one over on this side and one over on this side, got up at the same time and started toward the pulpit to the microphone. Both of them at the same time. They both had the interpretation to what this woman had to say. As they got near to and they both had their minds on the Lord and were in the Spirit, and neither of them saw the other until they almost reached the pulpit together at the same time. And one of them just sort of, when he saw the other, he just sort of bowed and ushered the other fellow down. He turned around and sat down. Well, now, as this man stood at the pulpit and gave the interpretation, I'm the kind who likes to watch and pray, you know. I watched the fellow who sat down, and I could tell by the expression on his face that the man at the pulpit was giving exactly what he had received from the Lord. And this is giving honor one toward the other. And if something reveals to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace and give over to the other one. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful. I'll never forget that. Now that he mentioned something about these gifts of the Spirit, maybe he touched this, and I got in. I slept in this morning. I didn't wake up in time. But I appreciate what I did get to hear. The word of knowledge. And we hear a lot about tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. These vocal gifts. There's six more gifts. Plus a lot of other wonderful things from the Lord. And we shouldn't spend all of our time talking about tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. God wants us to be balanced and well-balanced in all areas. And I'm just going to mention the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Anybody who deals with people in the deliverance area, as Don does, as various other fellows here do, they need these three gifts operating in them at all times. This is practically a must. Is that right? Because you have people coming in these meetings to tear up the meeting. They'll come in the prayer room to tear up the meeting. They don't have the right spirit. They didn't come in there to be delivered in the first place. They came in the meeting here to cause the spirit. They may not say a word, but the very spirit emanating from them is the spirit of evil that will affect people all around them and might even affect the speaker. Or the whole meeting. You see, we're living in a time when it's always been so that the spirit world is the main world. This natural world we live in it'll pass away one of these days. But this spirit world is the important one. Now, I was in the way for a long time before I really realized about these gifts of the Spirit I thought that only preachers were supposed to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I didn't have any. There's no scripture that says that, but that's just what I thought. But I began to realize several years ago that God wants some laymen to operate in these areas. And I'd like to explain these three gifts. And now this is as I see it. This is not a hard and fast rule. But the gift of the word of knowledge is all at once you don't know anything about a person. They're a complete stranger to you. And the very next moment, you know many things about them as if you had always known it. The gift of the word of wisdom, then, is how to use the knowledge that God has given you through the word of knowledge. Because you can get a word of knowledge about a person. It might be embarrassing to them if you blurt it out in a public meeting, or even if you go to them at an inopportune time and confront them with it. Various things. It's one thing to have knowledge, and it's another thing to have wisdom as to how to use the knowledge you have been granted. And this is a gift from God. Now, the discerning of spirits is the recognizing of what spirit it is that is in operation. If there is a manifestation of the supernatural, and let me explain here that manifestation of the supernatural doesn't mean that it's from God. Satan can manifest in the supernatural, and his emissaries can manifest in the supernatural. They have a counterfeit for all the gifts of the Spirit. How many here have ever heard a demon-possessed person speak in tongues? Several of you have. They can speak in tongues as good as you can. Some better. But there's something about it that your spirit won't bear witness with it. There's something about it. If you're in tune with God, your spirit won't bear witness with it, and you can quiet them down and hush them up just immediately. Another thing, too, people who speak in tongues under the influence of an evil spirit, many times they don't remember what they did. You can question them about it later on. They don't even remember a thing in the world about it. They are so under the complete domination of the wrong spirit. We were talking about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits, as I understand it, is that when a person rises to give, we'll say, a message in tongues, or an interpretation, or a prophecy, your spirit within you, that Holy Spirit within you, discerns whether that is of God or whether that is of the devil. That is the discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom is when you know about the person, know about things. The word of knowledge is when you know how to use. The word of wisdom is when you know how to use the word of knowledge. But the discerning of spirits is to recognize what spirit is in operation. And you can pick it out. You can pick it out. One time at a convention, I was sitting right over here at the head table. Well, this was, I forget which one it was, but this was at a banquet, and there were about the second round table back. There was a woman down there who she began to shake and carry on, it wasn't a beautiful thing at all. And remember this, God does things decently and in order. And when he does anything or causes people to do anything, if it's under his jurisdiction and his power, other people are not, it's not objectionable. It's generally beautiful and wonderful and impressive. But this woman was shaking and carrying on, and I knew in my own spirit that that was the wrong spirit in that person. I've also learned that when a man is dealing with a woman, he better get somebody else to go with him to deal with a woman. So I got one of the spiritual women that I knew, who was the wife of one of the directors, she happened to be close by, and I got her to go with me over here. And this was at an opportune time. Everybody was standing and praising the Lord. I went up to this woman, she was shaking and carrying on and so forth. And I just whispered in her ear and said, "Sister, if you come over here to the side, we will pray with you." Boy, she got mad. Who are you to say that to me? Well, you see, this was that wrong spirit was just manifesting itself. And another woman who stood by me there, she heard me talking to this lady. And she said, "Oh, no, brother," says "this woman, she prophesies and speaks in tongues and everything." I said, "Regardless of that, this is the wrong spirit. Now, if you want us to, if you come over to the side, we will pray with you." She wasn't going to have that at all. Well, I told her in no uncertain terms that she was not to shake and quake and carry on like that anymore. Boy, she was mad. If looks would have killed, I'd have been dead. And I went back up to the head table. She didn't shake a quiver of muscle after that. Another time, there was a colored woman in the audience back over here. This was at another meeting. She took one of these shaking, quaking, quivering spells, and she was disturbing everybody around her. Nobody would seem to go to her. Well, I'm not afraid of the devil. He doesn't have anything on me, and I'm not the least bit afraid of him. There's emissaries. I just went over and leaned over and whispered in her ear, and I said, "Sister, quit that shaking and carry on." She didn't pay any attention to me. I said, "Sister, quit that shaking and carry on." She paid no attention. I said, "If you don't quit that shaking and carry on now, I'm going to get a bunch of men, and we're going to carry you out of here." She quit. Now, with regard to the word of knowledge, I'm not saying that these were gifts that were operating at that time. I don't claim to have a single gift. I'm not claiming gifts. I claim that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And His Spirit is within me, and I operate as He wants me to operate. It's not us, but Christ. Now, with regard to this word of knowledge, I have been rather skittish of this for years. But one time several years ago, my pastor asked me to come and pray with him after service with a woman who was being brought there by her daughter. And she said that he said that the woman needed a deliverance. So after the service, the daughter, who was a grown daughter, brought her mother in, and the woman was about, I imagine, 55, very dignified, nice-looking lady, and set her down there. And there was the pastor and myself, the daughter and this lady, and some other woman there. So the pastor turned to me and said, "Brother Hahn, you deal with her." I said, "Oh, no, I don't know anything. I don't know a thing in the world about this woman." I said, you go ahead and deal with her." But he tried to get me to, but I wouldn't do it. So he tried to get her to acknowledge that she had a problem, that she had needs. And she gave the most pious tale you ever heard about how that she had been called to the Lord to go and help to minister to a group of, I think it was Indians or somebody like, something like this. And I thought within my own mind, I thought, "Well, Pastor, you sure missed it here. This is a nice looking lady. She's giving a good story," and so forth. So then the pastor said, "Well, let's all join hands and just pray and ask the Lord to reveal to us what her trouble is." So in obedience to the pastor and in cooperation with him and with the others there, I just joined hands. We joined around this lady. And quietly, I didn't say a word. Within my own heart, I just said, Lord, reveal to us, reveal to me what this woman's trouble is. And up from within me came the words, "A lying spirit and a foul mouth." And I just put it down. I just thought that came out of my subconscious. This couldn't be this lady. She's a very dignified-looking woman, and she's a very good Christian, and so forth. And then it came up again, "A lying spirit and a foul mouth." And then I thought, well, no, I dealt with about 10 days before, I dealt with a fellow who was a compulsive liar, and I just thought this was probably a carryover in my mental thinking, mental processes from that. But it kept coming, "A lying spirit and a foul mouth." But I still thought that this was in my own mind. And I kept quiet. Well, finally the pastor and them prayed with her, and nothing was done. And after they were all gone, well, he turned to me and he said, "Brother Hahn, what did you get when we prayed?" I said, "Well, actually, Pastor, the only thing that came to my mind was a foul spirit, a lying spirit, and a foul mouth." He says, "That's exactly her trouble. Said she cursed like a sailor. She'll tell a lie when the truth of it better. And it's just that's her trouble. That's her trouble." Well, now, if I had known enough about the gifts of the Spirit, I could probably have confronted this woman with this difficulty, and the shock of it would probably have brought her to her senses I've seen this happen, brought her to her senses enough to allow her to be prayed for. Another illustration, in a morning service, people were called up to the front who needed things from God. And our pastor had various people help to pray, and he appointed me to pray with a certain couple. I'd never seen this couple before. They'd never been to the church before. And as he appointed me to pray with these people, and then he was going to pray a general prayer over the whole congregation before they left. Well, as I looked at the couple, especially at the woman, the words gambling came to me. Well, they didn't look like gamblers to me, but I'd been a learning process in the meantime. So when we went into the prayer room, the pastor went with me to deal with these people, and very hesitatingly, I said, "Well, the thing I get about you people is that one or both of you have been," and also when I got the word gambling, Las Vegas also came to me. We're living in California, not in Southern California, in the L.A. area, not far from Las Vegas. You know, you associate gambling with Las Vegas and so forth and so on. That could have been a thought process going on in my mind. But anyway, I was going to come out with it. And when I said, "One or both of you have been gambling," well, the woman, in a huff, turned to her husband and let him know in no uncertain terms that they should just get out of there because why? This fellow's accusing us, you know. Well, then the husband just broke down. He said, yes, we've been to Las Vegas gambling. And then she had to admit it. Well, then they were prayed for. But you see, these are teaching sessions for us. And it's like Brother Don mentioned a while ago, if we'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God and sensitive to what He lets our spirit know. You see, our spirits know more than we know. Our spirits within us know more than our mind knows. God speaks to our spirits. God speaks to our spirits. And then our spirits let things flow up into our minds that we need to know. I just thought I'd add these few words.
Very good. Teaching seems to be the order of the day, doesn't it? We have so much to learn about the Lord sitting at the feet of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Turn to Acts 2:46. Acts 2:46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In the early days of the church, they didn't have church buildings as we know them today. And we have been led to believe, and we have accepted it, and it is true to a certain extent, that the church is the brick and stone building over here that we all go together on Sunday and we worship the Lord there. That is not the church. That is a building where people gather together to worship the Lord at certain specified times. The church is anywhere where God's people are gathered together. We're in a hotel in downtown Omaha, but this is the church in this area. You'll notice in various places in the New Testament, Paul addresses his letter to the church that's in the house of so-and-so. The church that's in the house of so-and-so. Now, many ministers are afraid to have cottage prayer meetings. They're afraid that another church will spring up and their franchise that they have for that area will be disturbed. And so they don't want prayer meetings. I happen to come from an area in Southern California where a church started about 10 years ago. It started from just a very few families, about 10 or 12 families. God laid it on the heart of the pastor there to do a different thing. And he encouraged prayer meetings. Not only encouraged them, but went out and helped to get them started and get them going. And then we leave them and go start other prayer meetings until I don't know how many prayer meetings are being in that area. As a result, at the end of 10 years, they're having about 2,000 on Sunday morning in the church, besides there are many prayer meetings going on all over. But if we settle ourselves in our local churches, I can speak from experience. I've been an Assemblies of God man for about 37 years. And I've held practically every office that a layman can have in a church, with the exception of being pastor. God didn't call me to be a pastor. He knew better than that. But I was disciplined in the church. I looked to the church. It's my church. And as far as that part of it is concerned, but the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And now we, in our own communities, we can have our own prayer meetings. You can't get enough on Sunday morning to last you through the week. You can't get enough on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night if you go all three times to last you through the week. This is where we need the men of our homes, the leaders in our homes, to be the priests in our homes, and to take the responsibility and lead the family. Now then, also in addition to that, we need to gather together in groups. Where we live in our area, we have a group that meets the first and third Saturday, and it's a covered dish get-together. We enjoy it. People get together who love the Lord, and the women bring these covered dishes, and they can really cook. and we enjoy the food around the table, and then we enjoy each other's presence, and we have fellowship. And you'll notice here that they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and they didn't set aside going to church. Now, they were in the temple. Don't get me wrong. Don't give up going to church. Stay in your church. Do a good job in your church. Be faithful in your church. Pay your tithes in your church, and so forth. But breaking the bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor among the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How could the Lord add to the church daily such as should be saved if they only went to the church house once a week to meet and to praise the Lord? People are getting saved daily here. They're getting saved daily here. They're getting the Holy Ghost daily here. All right? Organize in your own areas. Maybe you're already doing this, but I'm just encouraging you, those who are not doing it. Organize prayer meetings in your group. Get several couples together. Invite some who are unsaved. Invite some who do not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They will feel such warmth and such love of Christ there that they cannot resist it. Some of you men we have done this. In one area where we lived, there was a restaurant in the general area that had a private room and had a great big round table in this room. Seated a bunch of men. And periodically, we just, on the spur of the moment, one of the men would call or get his secretary on the line, and he'd call 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 men and say, meet us at this certain restaurant. Let's have lunch together. We'd do this too, maybe three times a week. And we'd invite men, other men who were not of our own particular persuasion, who had not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we'd have some of the best fellowship there around the table at lunch. We'd give testimonies, and we'd also begin praying for certain pastors in the area, certain churches in the area. And the way it worked out, I'll give you an illustration. We picked out an Episcopalian church, which wasn't very far away. And we used the wording zeroed in. We all zeroed in and prayed for that pastor and that church. And we prayed around the table. And then we made it up among ourselves that every time we went by that church in our business and so forth, as we drove by it, we'd look toward it and pray for that pastor and that church. Well, that pastor didn't know what was happening, but he knew something was happening. His name is Bob Hall. He's spirit-filled now. His family's spirit-filled, and a bunch of his church is spirit-filled. But he didn't know how it started until after it had already started. But we zeroed in on him, and you know prayer, where people gather together to pray in unison, it is effective before God. And God will bless you, and you'll have testimonies coming out of these things, and God will bless you in a marvelous way. Get together. Have fellowship. Eat together. Another thing, get together and fast together. Get Derek Prince's book out on the table there, Restoration Through Fasting, and read it about six times. It will do you more good than you can imagine. Restoration Through Fasting. It's just a little booklet by Derek Prince, and it will be a real blessing to you. But you can do the same thing and live in a community of those that are of like precious faith, and do like our brother has said, you will receive from them, they will receive from you, and you will grow thereby in Christ.
This is the end of the CD.